Mini episode 840 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 840. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Fargo episode 3.6. Here are the top five developments coming out of the third season's fifth episode. Number five, the show takes a weird turn with Varga's first burst of overt anti-Semitism. It's strange that this is the week that this happened, because we are going to address a column from our good friend Adam Buckman at MediaPost.com. We strongly suggest that you check it out. In this column, dated May 8th, he picked up on the show's indulgence in Jewish stereotypes this season with a Minnesota lawyer and a Hollywood producer in the first three episodes. He branded these examples anti-Semitic. Adam is one of the smartest people that we know about TV, but often on issues like this, you gauge the intent from your own vantage point. From our vantage point, we may have differed somewhat in terms of seeing them not intended as anti-Semitism, rather simply ill-advised attempts to be cute that are tone-deaf in a time when the alt-right is reviving anti-Semitic imagery. But then this week happened, and we're not sure what to make of everything. Clearly, Varga's anti-Semitism is meant to further underscore his villainry, but that just makes the show's previous use of stereotypical Jewish characters that much more baffling. Whatever the intent, and maybe we were right all along not to think the worst of the creative team, they have at minimum been clumsy and inconsistent with their intentions in this regard, and that's noteworthy because we rarely have a bone to pick with them. Number four, time for Mo to stop being a schmo. In its first two seasons, Fargo has employed the device of the police official who, because of a stubborn streak, unwittingly impedes the good guys in solving the crime. Both times they made this device work for them. Right now, the show's going to be on thin ice if they keep Chief Mo Damick in the role of obstructionist for too much longer. He's all too eager to brush off a violent murder in an area that sees little in the way of such crimes. No matter how stubborn he may be, he's going to pass the point of believability as a character if he continues getting in Gloria's way for no good reason. Number three, new characters have entered the picture and will create more wrinkles on the landscape. Rich widow Rudy Goldfarb wants to get into the parking lot business and is willing to either align with Stussy or go up against them. Neither one's going to work from Varga's perspective. There's not room for any more partners in the firm, and there's no room for anyone to cut into their profit margin, at least their legitimate one. And speaking of that distinction, IRS agent LaRue Dollard is now poking around Stussy because of Ray's insistence on taking that $10,000 in his brother's name. You can already see that Varga is preparing to stop him by any means necessary, but making a move on a federal official may be just a bridge too far. At a certain point, Gloria is sure to turn her attention to Varga, and maybe Dollard's demise will be a key point in her bringing Varga to justice. Number two, the war between the Stussy brothers keeps burning ever hotter. Enraged by Cy dropping a dime on him and costing him his job after destroying his beloved Corvette, Ray frames his brother for adultery and quite possibly costs him his marriage. Then Nikki takes that horrific beating from Cy's new business associates, and even though Cy himself is under their thumb, there's no way that Ray is going to extend the benefit of the doubt to his brother or his key assistant. The cycle of vengeance is exploding to new levels right before our eyes. Number one, Cy is in everyone's crosshairs now. Ray and Nikki already hate him. Winnie knows that he's hiding something about the hit and run at the diner. Varga is getting in Emmett's ear about him, and Varga himself has now declared war by way of a bitter and humiliating drink. He may be about to become a man truly vulnerable and alone, who, despite his pretense of being a fixer, isn't capable of doing anything truly tough at all. We're at the halfway point of the season and can already see the point where things will get really bananas in true Fargo tradition. When that happens, if Varga hasn't outright done away with Cy by then, he could well become the biggest wild card of all. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.